Good morning. Welcome to the Black Lands Cafe. I'm John Mark Dempsey. Have a cup of coffee on the house. It's Tuesday, July 22nd. Sharing the table with us in the cafe this morning, A&M Commerce Professor of Economics, Dr. Dale Funderburk. Birthdays, actor Danny Glover, 67 today. The former U.S. Senator and presidential candidate Bob Dole is 90 today. The former Senator from Texas, Kay Bailey Hutchison, is 70.
Desperado, why don't you come to your senses? You've been out riding fences for so long now.
From Lindale, Texas, Don Henley is 66 today. David Spade is 49. This day in history, in 1934, the desperado John Dillinger shot to death by federal agents in Chicago.
They got him outside this motion picture theater. Wild excitement. Dillinger killed by federal agents commanded by Inspector Samuel Cowley, assisted by East Chicago, Indiana police. The belongings of Public Enemy Number 1. Three men couldn't carry Dillinger's collection of deadly weapons seized at various places. He had this automatic in hand when killed.
In 1943, during World War II, U.S. Army troops under General George Patton capture Palermo, Sicily.
American troops of General Patton's 7th Army move swiftly through western Sicily, taking town after town as they drive to join General Montgomery's British 8th Army. Through captured Tammany, Mersala, Trapani, Palermo, scenes are the same. More than 50,000 Axis prisoners surrender in the first 3 weeks of the campaign.
Number one on the charts this day in 1945, Johnny Mercer and the Pied Pipers. And on the Atchison, Topeka, and the Santa Fe.
Do you hear that whistle down the line? I figure that it's engine number 49. She's the only one that'll sound that way on the Atchison, Topeka, and the Santa Fe.
On the KETR events calendar, Friday night, the Toy Animal Sleepover at the Sam Bell Maxi House in Paris. Now, this requires some explaining. Bring your children and a stuffed animal, doll, or action figure to the Maxi House between 6:30 and 7 p.m. on Friday. Story time will begin at 7 p.m. with a snack. After the story, goodbyes will be said as the children leave the toys overnight, where they will have a sleepover at the Maxi House. The toys can be picked up between 9 a.m. and 4 p.m. on Saturday, along with pictures of things the toys did at the sleepover. The children will enjoy games and activities on Saturday. For more information, see events at ketr.org. Our guest in the cafe this morning is A&M Commerce Professor of Economics, Dr. Dale Funderburk. Good morning.
Good morning.
Our thought for the day, Dale, is from Benjamin Franklin. And he said, your net worth to the world is usually determined by what remains after your bad habits are subtracted from your good ones. That Franklin cat, you know what? They talk about who might have been a space alien. That sometimes that he might have been one of those.
One interesting character.
Yeah, he absolutely was. He seemed to have a pretty good grasp on things. Well, looking at some recent articles on the Texas economy, there's one from the Morning News that's a collection of charts and graphs. We'll put a link to this on the page. And one of them, Dale, shows that Texas job growth has outpaced the rest of the country by 2-1, and we've heard that quite a few times lately, but this it shows was for the last 23 years.
It has. As a matter of fact, in 2013, the Texas growth rate was, in fact, a tick more than twice the national average. But as you say, that's not new. This has been going on for about the last quarter of a century.
23 years. And, of course, the Texas policies, like them or hate them, have been about the same during that time. There's not been a tremendous amount of change in how Texas does business over those 23 years.
It has been one that I think business overall considers very business friendly. We have had the low taxes there. We don't have really strenuous regulations in very many areas. And on top of that, of course, we have oil, which has been a constant over that period.
Mm-hmm. And the energy sector's come back really strong in the last couple of years.
Made a big difference.
Right, the natural gas and the rest of that. In fact, there's another Morning News article we were looking at says the Texas economy grew at 3.7% last year, and that's good, but that's only eighth in the U.S. And look at North Dakota. They're number one, and their growth rate is 9.5%.
It was. As a matter of fact, I noticed that of that top group, the Rocky Mountain region accounts for almost all of those other top eight ones.
Yeah. Wyoming was number two.
Right.
So, again, that's energy.
It is,
mm-hmm.
Yes.
Well, now, some people will say, okay, it's not your policies. It's your resources. You happen to be lucky to be in a place where there's a lot of oil or natural gas, and that accounts for it more so than the policies.
Well, the two of them obviously do combine, but if you put in enough regulations that you can't produce that oil, then it doesn't help you.
Mm-hmm, yeah. There was an item in this one particular article. Again, have a look at it. It's some really nice graphs and charts there. But when we look at the housing bust that happened, really didn't so much happen in Texas. There's a little chart there shows 36%, this is incredible, 36% of the houses in Nevada are, quote, underwater.
Right. When the bust came, the subprime mortgage collapse there, Nevada was one of the, I think they were, in fact, the worst. But you had California, Florida, and a number of those states which were much, much harder hit than Texas. And they continue to have a higher percent of housing underwater or mortgages underwater.
We're talking with Dr. Dale Funderburk, professor of economics at A&M Commerce. Why was that so? What did they do wrong or what did we do right in that area?
One is that in a lot of ways, Texas is just more conservative. Even banking or lending in this state tends to be a bit more conservative.
And you're here talking, you're not necessarily politically conservative, but financially conservative.
Right, yeah. Yes. And so the lenders did, now they got into the subprime mortgages without any doubt, but overall played a little closer to the vest, and you didn't have just the housing and the population boom there, and so the balloon just didn't blow up as tight.
Mm-hmm. Lest we be accused of self-congratulation too much here, there's a Texas Tribune article out there pointing out that Texas has less protections for workers than other states, and in particular in workers' compensation, and this creates problems for people that get hurt on the job. So,
as a matter of fact, Texas is one of the only, if not the only state, that doesn't require workers to carry workers' compensation for workers. Now, it's supposed to be one of those that they show financial responsibility, or at least take that if they don't. But what it's supposed to be and what actually happens is not always the same. And so there is a trade-off that we do not have the worker protection that some of the states that do have it. Stronger regulations.
Mm-hmm. Is it a matter of this? You've touched on it already, but is it either strong job growth or strong regulation and not much in between?
I wouldn't go quite that far, but it is a case that as you put on more and more regulations, that does increase unit labor cost. And as you push up labor cost, you do impair job growth.
Yeah. So there's some choice to be made there.
It is. They are going to tend to work toward one or against one another.
Yeah, good. Dale, thanks for having a cup of coffee with us this morning.
I've enjoyed it.
All right, good. Dr. Dale Funderburk, professor of economics at A&M Commerce, and you're starting the day with Morning Edition on your station 88.9 KETO.